Ghostly Talk.
Yes, we're back.
Ghostly Talk.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And this is
Ghostly Talk.
The only ethereal talk show on the net.
That's right. Yeah.
So we're pretty proud of that. Interesting week. Yeah. We can't afford a real radio station. Yeah. And that costs a lot of money, and we're poor, so we're here.
Email ghostlytalk@yahoo.com, just like everybody else does.
Yes, we have a special guest this week.
We're going to give away secrets.
Oh, yeah, lots of secrets.
Secrets, yeah, because we've got Brian from the Downriver Detroit Paranormal Investigators in our studio
presence
right now. And we also have Frank of DDPI.
Yeah, say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, we're going to be discussing primarily today a house that the DDPI has been investigating, entitled, well, you call it Savage House.
And I think it's one of the net's worst-kept secrets, because somehow everybody knows about this.
They just don't know the location.
Yeah, they just don't know the location.
Which we're going to tell you tonight.
Yeah.
Unless they get an insider to take you there. And so some folks have been there, and most folks haven't.
Yeah, now,
so
we should say, though,
mm-hmm,
we should say, though, before we even go any further, we're going to give away the location of the show tonight.
But we're not liable.
We're not liable for anything that happens
anything
to you
that
there.
Happens to you in this house.
Yeah, so, as a matter of fact, we highly recommend
never or on the grounds.
There.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to talk about. That's why we're doing a show on it, and we want to discuss some of the things that we experienced there. Some of the things Brian's been investigating.
But it is a seriously active house.
Very active.
The grounds are very active. The house is very active.
And there's neighbors right next door.
Yeah.
So, well, we haven't been, like, caught or anything. We highly recommend not going there.
If you get pinched, it's not our fault.
Yeah.
Bottom line, so.
Don't
call me for bail.
Yeah.
We'll be out somewhere else.
So, how long ago did you, let's just say, when was the first time you actually went to this house?
I read about the house on the internet on a now-defunct website that hasn't been updated in over a year. And they gave us the road, and that's all they gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there probably the first time about 45 days ago.
Okay.
A month and a half ago. And we went in during my work day, and I went in during the daytime with the kid that I worked with, and it was everything that they had posted on the net already, and we went from there.
Now, I got to visit the house one time so far.
I went three times.
Yeah,
the way, my mic's on now.
I'm a lamer.
My
you have your
off.
Mic on?
No.
Oh, jeez.
How's that?
Very professional.
Do you want to restart? Hi, and welcome to Ghostly Talk. No. I got there. I go two or three times. Three times.
Yeah, I got to go there one time myself, and I have to say, from my point of view, it's creepy in its own right, ghost or no ghost there. I mean, that place was just like, there. You know, it's a heavy feeling to walk in there. I know we talked about it after we left that night, and I was like, I got a feeling of stress, and distress, bottom line.
The first time I went there was broad daylight at noon.
That's about the only time I'd like to ever go there.
And it's an extreme feeling of being watched. Everywhere on the grounds, you feel like something's right next to you watching you.
Yeah, I got stress. I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly what it was, like what kind of stress, but it wasn't a good kind of stress. Let's put it that way.
Okay. First, though, I know we're talking about Savage House, it's called, by the way, S House on places on the internet, such as the address book at gosu.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's called S House,
mm-hmm.
But it's really is Savage House because it's on Savage Road.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, I think what we want to do first, though, is we want to introduce Brian a little bit better. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what got you into ghost hunting, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm 34 years old. I don't know, watching Scooby-Doo when I was a kid, and I always had a thing for ghosts, always had a thing for do they exist, why do they exist, and what will happen if I actually see one or come in contact with one.
I think everybody has it in them.
I was a spooky kid in high school, you know, at the library getting all the ghost books.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I didn't have horns tattooed on my head and nothing like that.
Oh, not then, anyway.
Not
then.
By the way, now I do. And, I just started about 4 years ago hitting cemeteries, finding abandoned buildings, doing a little bit of research here and there on the net, you know, trying to pull up where I could pull up of hauntings and go check them out myself. And it sort of evolved into a little small group of us who go on a pretty regular basis. You know.
Yeah, really regular.
Yeah, we are. DVI is the most active, quote, ghost hunting, unquote, group on the net.
I'm pretty sure.
I would agree with that.
I highly agree. I've been around ghost hunters for a while now, and DDPI has basically kept me on the run. I've never been ghost hunting as much as in the past, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
For new locations, constantly looking for possible hauntings, constantly.
And part of that is thanks to Frank. Frank is the DDPI driver.
Turn out, Frank.
I want to say something about Frank. We were going down that dirt road that the last time when I was with you guys. And I'm like, hanging on. I'm like, whoa.
If something runs in front of the car, we are hitting it.
If it was making it
a ghost.
If it was the Enterprise, it would be running warp speed.
Yeah.
if you had Frank as the ensign. Okay.
Hence Astro in the name Astro Van. Yeah.
We don't know how many places we've actually missed from Frank doing 80. How many abandoned houses and buildings that we could have possibly found.
He does seem to get us there. Every case.
He does do that.
Somehow safely. I don't know how. But it does work, and a lot of kudos go to him for that. Frank. So, Frank, get in here.
Yeah, get in here.
Let's hand you a...
We have, like, space constraints here.
Yeah,
we're doing the best we can.
Four people, three mics.
Yeah, we're all, like, yeah. We're all well-fed, and it's kind of tight right now, but we'll do the best we can.
So let's get Frank in here. So introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself and why you got into ghost hunting, or how.
Well, I got involved with it with Brian. Brian got me into it, you know, because I wanted to go out from a couple places, get involved more in ghost hunting. I was really into the ghost hunting, actually. So, here I am now.
Cool.
Well, your intentions are clear. That's good.
Yeah.
He likes ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Likes ghost hunting.
You like drive, too.
There we go.
He likes...
Oh, yeah.
We DDPI is officially transported by the official NASCAR of minivans.
Yeah, minivan NASCAR.
Minivan NASCAR.
I meant to ask you guys about the TAC. Or you guys have the... It's not a TAC.
I think that's the danger meter, and it just goes pegs all the time.
It's a TAC?
Oh, it is a TAC?
It's pegged constantly.
But we did have to get the introductions in.
I'm
you
sorry.
Know, stuff like that.
I thought
he'd be back.
Every single week.
Every Sunday between 7 and 8.
He gravitates here.
Yeah. He's a listener.
You know, I think he might have
the laptop
satellite dish on top of the ice cream truck, and he's just listening away.
So, everyone wants to hear about Savage House. First of all, it is a single family dwelling. Made of brick, mostly. Mm-hmm. There appears to have been an addition put on. It's got three bedrooms, one bathroom.
It's got
an attic,
a dining area.
A huge attic.
The attic covers the entire house. Yeah, and then the basement is basically the entire house.
And we came to a point in our last visit where there is supposedly a hidden room in this house. We found one of them that was actually boarded off from the rest of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the liberty of investigating how tightly those boards were put on.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, investigators. And
we're getting a call from the police.
And it's a really weird room that's boarded off from the house. Now we're thinking that there's also one in the basement. And... we went pretty thoroughly through it on our last time there, which you were there, Doug.
Yeah, I'm like, what's this wall? What's behind this wall? Because it's basically, the structure of the house is a big square.
Exactly.
Part of this big square, I think it is above it, is an addition where they made the top of the house also square. But the basement is this big square. Yet there is this rectangle out of the, southwestern corner?
Southeastern corner of the house.
Where... there's this brick wall, and that makes this rectangle, and you cannot get there through the back closet. You cannot get in there through the any part of this wall. Yet, if you go upstairs, there's house over it.
There's a house over, and there's
there's a window.
There's a window that
is all bricked up or boarded up.
That was boarded up. That we investigated
the board,
the tightness of the board, and
you can
it again came.
Yeah.
Yeah, it again was faulty. And
the quality of construction nowadays.
Yeah,
very questionable. But you can see in that there's this room that there's nothing in, or it doesn't seem like there's anything in. So it would be interesting to know what's in that.
Which we will further investigate and find out. But the background.
The background. It's a big single family house. It's got a barn.
A two-story barn that is partially collapsed.
Yeah, when you walked in there last time when I was with you, I'm like,
I don't know about that one. It's a dirt floor, though, so.
Yeah.
The floor is sturdy. I wouldn't suggest anybody weighing more than a child going upstairs in it, though, because I wouldn't suggest that.
It'd probably go down.
I did not suggest that.
Sending your child
upstairs in the barn.
In the barn is not a good idea. Remember that.
There's also a slave shack from when slaves were permitted.
Around. Yeah.
Politically correct.
Yeah.
And it is collapsing. And we've noticed activity in the backyard in between the barn and the slave shack, especially at night. We have tons of stories to tell you of things that have happened there.
Which we'll get into after we talk about the history. What? So you said you ran across this. So now that you got a lay of the land, there's this house, there's this shack, there's this...
Completely overgrown house. And while we've been investigating it...
The weeds grow.
The weeds have grown.
Yeah.
Literally feet.
Yeah, they were not there, and then the next
now
week they're
6 feet tall.
Yeah, they're as tall as a person.
Yeah.
So the this overgrown lot, we want to know the history. So you run across this article on the web. What did it say?
The article stated that these people that were from the Upper Peninsula had somehow came down here and found out about the house through somebody, and they went and investigated it, and they were on the grounds 10 minutes or so, and they had a horrible feeling, and they left. But the background of the house is that the owner that had previously owned it...
How long ago was that again?
This was when they came down, or...
The actual owner.
The last actual dating of any kind of mail or anything we see in the house... We also should mention that the house is left as it is.
Yeah.
It's everything that was there, which adds credibility to the story. The owner of the house would never step foot on the property. He had rented it out to another family. And he would always collect the money. This is what I read on the internet. At a local gas station or a local store. He'd never go on the property. Back in the 70s, like a quasi-satanic cult used to perform rituals there. We don't really have any proof of it. You know, we haven't seen any writings or markings, although the living room wall.
That could be drawn on that.
Yeah, that could
like
be.
I've said it 1,000 times. I think that was just a bunch
high
of
school kids.
High school kids who were trying
to be spooky,
trying to be hard.
Yeah.
You know.
And the story goes that there was a murder suicide that took place, which is documented in the house in 1990 or 91. And it happened in the rear bedroom of the house. And since we've been through there, we've spotted bullet holes in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
There's an incredible amount of shells, empty shell casings, in drawers. Like, you know, and if this guy was firing off, or whoever was firing off all these rounds, why did they bother collecting them and bringing them back in the house and putting them in a drawer?
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
And after the murder-suicide... Another man moved in. A family that we've gone through a lot of things, and we could tell it was a family. A lot of cards there to father and
baby dolls.
Baby dolls, toys, children's clothes, women's clothes.
Hanging on the hangers.
Still hanging on the towel in the bathroom was still hanging over the shower curtain rack.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks
to
like
dry.
To dry.
Yeah, so they
got up and went.
Yeah.
Something was there, just took off. Literally just took off.
Up and left, yeah.
Exactly. The last guy that lived there, the story goes that they found him running down Savage Road at 3 a.m. in the morning. Oh, yeah, 3 a.m. in the morning will be.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. And he was in his underwear, like he, you know, was probably sleeping or something or awoken by something. And now he is committed to a mental asylum somewhere in Michigan, which there aren't many left. We can testify to that. And that's basically the story of the house.
Mm-hmm. Good. Then, think on that for about 12 seconds.
We're going to take a break.
It's paranormal scientific. It's social science.
Alrighty. What are we going to talk about next? We know the history of this house. We know what happened, or we seem to think we know what happened. Some family finally moves in, and the last known thing, the guy was running down the street in his underwear, and now he's committed to an asylum. There's stuff in the house.
It's fully furnished.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's what blew me away. I never seen anything like it before, because you told me about it. When I came home from fishing,
yeah, you were up north.
Yeah, you guys went, and Doug's like, "We're going tonight." I'm like, "All right." So, I heard from him. He's like, it's like somebody just got up and left."
There's actually food in the refrigerator, like somebody was living there.
Yeah,
but all the food expired in '96, '95, and something. Another thing weird is, I know smells dissipate, but when you open that fridge up, there's absolutely no smell. There's actual eggs that have been broken, laying in the fridge, but there's not a single, any kind of odor that comes out of that fridge.
Yeah, and I know. I think people have probably been through there since that man made his departure, so to say. I mean, there's stuff still laying around there. The one thing that this really bummed me out is when we went up into the attic. We were looking around. There's books and records and magazines. What really bummed me out is I saw this really cool Iron Maiden poster from like '84. I think I mentioned it to you. I do follow the rule of not taking stuff off premises, and it was a crossroad in my life there. So I'm like, that would look great on my wall. I'm like, I can't take it.
If you do venture to this house, which we will tell you the location of later,
mm-hmm.
we've been there with a couple different groups of people that we've shared this house with, and a couple of them have chosen to take things out of the house, as in clothing, and we do not suggest that.
That's one of the rules that I know me and Doug follow.
Through experience,
it's a bad buy.
One, it's disrespectful. Yeah. If anything is there, an entity is there. And two, it can also, if there is an entity there, it can also lead to it following you out of that house.
Yeah, and I don't want that in my apartment.
No.
I don't want that in my apartment. It's hard enough sleeping.
Not whatever's there
especially
anyway.
Especially at what we've seen at Savage House, we don't want that coming home with us.
No, yeah, I mean, the house, I said this before, it's just stressful. That's what I felt. I mean, that's just my point of view. And it's not a good stress. I mean, there's some stress, you know, working out, pumping iron, that's good for you. But this is anxiety,
exactly.
Just kind
of
like that.
There's a lot of compressed anger, almost.
Yeah.
You can feel it's an angry, and things we've witnessed there have, like the first time, the first night, I found the house on a Saturday. We went back Sunday, around 5 p.m. And we went in the house, and it was Frank, myself, and a female that sometimes goes with us, and that was the first time we really went through the house, and we noticed the basement. There was a room in the basement that we couldn't get to due to maybe 8 inches of water that was horribly stagnant, where it was so stagnant where it pooled together the dust, so it had to be there a while.
Oh yeah,
on the water.
Yeah,
so I didn't get to go in the basement. So
well, now it is completely drained as of
it drained last time we were there,
and this water had to have been there for 6 months to a year.
Yeah,
and it amazingly now is totally drained. The floor is still damp, but
there's no
actual water on the floor, and it's weird because the floor is almost like sand in the basement. Did you notice that?
It's definitely nothing you'd want to run around barefoot on.
No, it's.
I don't know how Tom did it in his sandals. But I know.
Hi to the beach, dude. He's a member of DDPI, and he runs papertarget.net, and he's actually filming a documentary on, we're taking him around to some places and some cemeteries and some places that we know that have actually had activity. And one of them's including an abandoned mental asylum that maybe you'd find interesting, too.
Yeah, when we talk about that, I can play that.
You have that in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that house though. It, like we said, it's very weird. Somebody obviously just got up and left. I can't get over that.
Up and left.
The first time we went there, like I said, was at about 5 p.m. and we decided to go back around 11:30 p.m. at night.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were walking up the back steps, and I was going first, and we were entering the rear door of the house. And as I stepped over the threshold to the into the house, I got shoved backwards.
Yeah, you're
physically shoved. Where Frank wouldn't have been there, I would have went over the little railing and dropped like 5-6 feet. But that's right then and there. I knew that was something that we wanted to investigate.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not an irrational person where I jump backwards over a railing for the sake of saying I found a haunted house.
But that's where the passion comes from, though.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
that made me want to go. That we left that night, which was interesting because that was the night we caught the photo while we were moving quickly past the outside of the house, getting back in the Scooby van. That we caught the picture of the face staring down from the window upstairs at us.
Yeah.
And it, everybody here in this room has seen that the picture.
Yeah, and that
it. Well, it is a face.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely a face with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. And I don't know. It's crazy. We left that night.
That's where. Like I said, though, that's where really. That's where you break off because you have the. I've learned this is where you have the thrill seekers, and the curious parties, and then you have the true ghost hunters that want to go and hey, something just pushed me. This isn't good. But you know what? Something's going on here, and I'm going to go in there and find out.
Come back another time, or. We're going to see, you know, if it's any kind of a difference on another time. And every time we've been to that house, we've been there 30 times probably in the last month and a half. All different times of the day, all different times of the night. And there's definitely something going on in that house. We've had everything from when we've done a question and answer session with Doug.
Yeah. We did an audio question.
When I got a little aggravated finally and said, give us a sign. And
the what would be the floor to the attic or the ceiling to the main floor decided to crumble right then and there.
In the living room.
In the living room. Where we had not, you know, we'd been in there for how many hours and hours and hours before. And it
we weren't like moshing or anything in there. We weren't jumping around or doing anything crazy. But,
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just even move around.
I'm a wiggle worm.
No, we weren't like jumping around the room or.
No, we were pretty much still.
We were walking through the house, but you know when you walk through something like this, you obviously don't go tromping through at 100 miles an hour because you're going to trip on something and break your head open.
Well, at that point, we were all standing perfectly still
in the living room,
controlling our breathing
together pretty much,
and we shut the flashlights off. We're like, just shut them down.
And we were asking questions and. Crash.
Yeah.
A crash happened. But before that, okay, now you had investigated this on your own a couple of times. Then you ended up going there and getting that fantastic film with Dawn of GhostZoo.com.
Hi, Dawn.
Hey, Dawn.
Everybody knows Dawn.
Long time no, Everybody does know Dawn. Yeah. Well, GhostZoo.com is obviously like
huge database.
And so everybody knows about
it. It gives us a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And we take it upon ourselves to
go and investigate these places.
And so, plus, we've contributed, you know, a lot to her where we're telling her where, you know, locations are with the Savage House. And last I spoke with her, actually, she was there about a week and a half ago when we were going to the abandoned mental asylum, and I guess she had a bad experience there and at the house, and she didn't want to return.
That was
the last she told me.
Yeah.
And you know,
but her camera, the first time she was there, what, three times, two times,
two or three times now.
Yeah.
She's been with us there probably two times.
Two times. And the first time is when her camcorder caught that footage.
We left. We went through the house. And set up her camcorder on an old TV floor model. And we left the house and went outside and went on by our vehicles. And we were hanging out there for roughly 35 minutes. And we went in and she taped the house and room from room. And I remember her noting that she had a bad feeling in the waterbed room where there's an actual waterbed still in this room.
Yeah. Yeah. Not full of water.
Not full of
anymore.
Water. And she stated on the film that she doesn't like this room. And we went our separate ways that night. We were moving on to a different site. They stopped to get something to eat. and they decided they didn't want to continue that night. And we went on to a different site. And they were looking at the video that she had taped during while they were having their dinner. And when I called her, she was just amazed. And everybody there was amazed. There was orbs. I mean, incredible. They're just coming out of this room, moving around the living room, and they're not going up and down. They're moving side to side. They're moving to and from the camera. One is a pulsating orb that actually pulsates. No, it is not a firefly. And then we caught what we have the best evidence that I've seen. Actually, I haven't seen too many videos, even on the internet, of anything actually moving that wasn't an orb.
Right. And this that you've captured is definitely not an orb.
It evolves from an orb.
Yeah, it starts out as an orb or as a little something, but then when I saw the footage, what freaks me out about the footage is it looks to me like it is an arm because it basically extends into an elongated...
It's transparent.
Something. It's transparent, but you can still see the... You can see it because it's like... It warps
the view.
Space-time or whatever. I mean, it looks like a warping of what's behind it. And it's the shape of, to me, it's the shape of an arm reaching, like if you were a ghost and you were in the basement, if you reached up through the floorboard and then reached out toward the camera and then the arm, like, is then elongated and then goes back into the floor.
Yes.
That's what it looks like to me.
At first,
but there's other folks who've studied it more than I have.
At first, it looks like a mini gorilla to me when me and Frank first viewed the tape. And we first viewed it at Dawn's house on a large screen TV, and she didn't see it at first. And we took the tape home and went through it endlessly. And it looked like a mini gorilla with the long front arms and the short rear legs, the way it sort of stalks.
Well, yeah.
And since Doug has said that to us about the arm, that's a definite possibility also.
It looks like to me like it's an arm reaching up from the basement, out toward the camera, and then disappears back into the floor.
I've never seen...
Really scary.
I haven't seen, and I search the internet for hours every day, looking at different sites, looking at different photos, looking at different videos, listening to EVPs, and I have never yet seen anything that definitive of some kind of energy
that's actually materializing into a form.
Because
that's like the holy grail of catching something on film with an actual apparition,
which
we talked about.
And since we've gone back more and more and more, I believe that whatever's in that house or on the grounds has fed off of us.
We discussed that.
And
actually, we were there.
More powerful.
Yeah, I mean,
it is gaining power.
Which that actually, we discussed that. We were kind of devising theories and stuff that night, going, "What if that thing could possibly be feeding off of the energy we kick off? Because we kick off energy too."
Constantly.
Well, we also know that in one of the rooms, it never fails that your billion candle power searchlight thing.
Oh, that thing's insane!
And it drains in the living room. Where we captured that on film.
Yes.
Every time we're in that house, I could be charging it and not use it and turn it on when we enter the property for roughly a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we get in that living room, it's like somebody's turning a dimmer switch on that light.
And then you go back out.
Well,
and it works again at full power.
Yeah.
There was all types of, I know the night I was there, I didn't have any problems personally, but I know sporadic. We're all looking around doing our own thing. But I heard like, "Hey, my camera stopped working."
Yeah.
"Hey, what happened to my flashlight? Hey, well, what's going on here?" And yeah, I did. I've seen that. I saw that video too, and that was just, oh boy. That's all I can say. I mean, something like that. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing.
You
see something like that, you're like.
Like I tell people that have done this for years and years and years have spent their lives looking and investigating and trying to find proof, solid proof that they could show somebody, and we stumbled across it by luck.
Something like that, though, just the actual movement itself, too.
It's incredible.
Just folks, the folks out there, you picture this, it is an arm. Let's just say it's an arm.
Okay.
Let's just say it's an arm. Coming up. It reaches up.
Like it's pulling itself.
It comes forward.
Towards
the camera.
And it pulls back.
And it draws back. Depending on the speed you know.
It looks like it does at a singular time.
Okay.
And with that, we're going to discuss more after this.
West Michigan Ghost Hunters Society invites you to join us at the Felt Mansion. Visit us at www.geocities.com/WMGhost for details now.
Alrighty then.
And we're back. I had to say that
we're
for you.
Still
got to
work on these longer promos.
I know. I want minute-long promos.
Yeah. Savage House, though. We're still talking about Savage House. Very, very interesting. We discussed the history. We've talked about, you know, just the investigations.
Some of them, yeah.
Some of them so far. Some of the things that have been caught on film.
Yes. Well, one of the things I want to talk about desperately is something that I experienced at Savage House. And that's because it's not on film, unfortunately. But it was... Was it the first night I went? I think it was the second time I went. We all set up my camera, my video camera. Well, it's actually my brother's, but video camera. Set it up in a similar manner to how you had done, how Dawn had set hers up.
Pretty much the same positioning and viewing
the same thing. Although I didn't catch anything like that on the film, unfortunately. But we set it up. We went out to the van. Get out of the, you know, we waited the half hour. For some reason, that's the time frame to wait. Get out of the van. We start walking alongside the house up what evidently used to be a driveway. I don't know. And
now it's a jungle.
So yeah, now, yeah, now yeah, it's like overgrown.
We see what we saw that night.
And, yeah, it wouldn't happen now because the weeds are too high. But I was standing next to Brian, and he hits his... That was your mag light, right? Or
yeah,
your,
it was a mag light. Yeah. Four-cell mag light.
Yeah, hits the mag light on, and I swear I saw what could only be described as a inky black shadow person running from where the, like, from the direction of the barn toward the direction of whatever's south of...
Slave shack.
Yeah, to the slave shack.
Tree.
Through the, yeah, and I saw it running under this tree. And it was a black as night, dark,
and
ink,
I definitely saw black it too. Frank
shadow
seen it. You know,
person.
I have normally seen quite a few things over there, but Brian can't see.
Because I'm blind.
You know, I have seen people standing in doorways.
Frank has, and yeah, definitely. When we were in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
He felt, I was taking photos, and, you know, he kept bumping me, and I was like, Frank, leave me alone, you know, because Frank sometimes tends to get a little nervous, but he kept...
You going to sit there and take that?
He kept elbowing me, and he's like, someone's watching me, or someone's watching us, and I was thinking it was on the property next door, and I'm like, you know, I'm pretty blind at night, and I'm going, where, and he goes, from the door. And there was another person with us at night, and they described the same person, figure, whatever.
It's a tall, thin...
No, that day...
That day?
It was a stocky, short guy.
Oh, this was the other one from inside the house.
From inside the house. And its face almost matches the photo.
From upstairs?
Upstairs. And they thought that it was peeking around the corner of the door jamb, looking at us.
Was that a shadow person, or was that a...
No, the face.
This was a ghost apparition kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was our first encounter with anything that could actually be seen there.
Uh-huh.
And since then, I mean, I got the... You know, I've been doing this a while, and I don't scare that easily, you know, because this is what I want to see. And I had an experience where you were there at the barn with the apparition forming in the doorway, blocking the doorway to the barn, and when I took the camcorder up to it, it was almost a solid figure, but transparent at the same time, where you could see, like you said, a warp.
Yeah.
Where it warped the time and space there, and it definitely was within 15 feet of me, ahead of me, at the barn door. And I don't know, I pretty much turned instant coward, because that was the first time I've been face-to-face that close with something that was actually, I mean, it was a good-sized well, figure.
You know what? When you get a feeling like that, though, we've discussed this on the show in previous shows. You know, there's the passion has to be there to do this kind of thing, but
the common sense has to be there, too.
I mean, we're talking about mental issues here, too. It isn't physical that's the problem. I mean, you can seriously, I'm going to keep it to a bare minimum, but there was a few people there that night along with us that were
could have been traumatized.
That could have been traumatized, and I say, get them out.
Yeah.
Get them out. They don't belong here.
Somebody's going there, the way I feel about it is, and that's why we're doing this show tonight and letting everybody know where this house is at, because pretty much it's been being leaked out steadily.
Yeah.
When we first ran across this house, there had not been anybody there in quite a while.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a usual an abandoned house, there's kids partying there, doing their thing there, empty beer cans. There's none of that at this house. There's no evidence that anybody's been in there.
Usually you find places like that, they get riddled.
Yeah, this place was pretty much just dilapidated from its age.
Yeah.
It's an
old house. I mean, obviously, it's very old house. I mean, that whole area around there was lots of just old pieces of property. And what blows me away is we stopped at a couple houses that night, and this just, that whole area, it's like, these houses just sit here. And do nothing.
And see, what's another abandoned thing that makes the story more credible about the landlord never coming on the property is that there's no trespassing signs. There's no keep-out signs. The house is not boarded up in any way.
No, it isn't. You can walk right in.
Right in the
you
back.
You can walk
which
right
the door?
In.
I want to tell them about the door.
The door. I was going to talk about that.
Okay,
good.
The rust mark we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing Brian showed me, and I was like, you're walking in here. Yeah, we walked up the driveway, we walked around the side of the back of the house, and there is about five steps.
A broken picture of Jesus.
Yeah, and the door, it's a metal door. It's a strong door. It's a good door. You have to look at it for just a second, but it's very predominant. I actually took a picture of it myself. It's a picture of a skull. It's a skull.
The like, rust that is actually rust, formed on the door.
Yeah, exactly.
To the naked eye, I mean, it's a perfect vision of a skull.
A skull. Like, I would say, like...
Tilted.
Tilted somewhat, so it's not quite a profile view of the side of the head. No. It's somewhat
it's
of like...
partial frontal
and
partial.
Yeah, there you go. And you see the teeth, like the upper jaw.
You definitely can tell.
You see the upper jaw, and you see the two eyes, and it forms the cranium.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't something you have to sit there and look at.
To see.
Like some people, they get pictures, and they're like, well, look at it. And you got to look like for a half an hour. And you still don't see anything. This is very easy to see. Now, okay, let's just be very, very objective about the whole thing and say, well, you know, maybe just rest it in there.
Yeah.
But compile that with some of the stuff that everybody in this room seen and felt.
Yeah.
It just adds to the whole eerie feeling.
Oh,
the absolute least.
Yeah, because we've talked about seeing, images of Elvis and stuff in wood grain, you know, things like that, pop icons.
I'd love to see that. This is something that just blows your mind to think that this naturally just formed and coincidentally... with a house that has this kind of activity going on.
Yeah, that's just, like I said, it compiles with everything else that's been experienced there, felt there, caught on tape, documented. It just adds to the
photograph. Moment. We got photographs, digital, 35mm, Advantix, disposable. In almost every camera we've taken in that place, we've caught orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, not dust orbs.
Yeah.
I mean, we've caught...
That house, it's very settled. It isn't like... Okay, well, we talked about it last week about the man on our last Mansfield show. We had that seminar with Dr. Ken.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of great information about dust orbs, just speaking of those. And Mansfield Reformatory, for example, that's a big, dusty prison. You've been there.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to stir up dust in there. This house is settled. There, it isn't dusty. It's not dusty.
It's not, nothing like a prison.
Because naturally, it's stone. Everything's stone everywhere, walls, everything, ceiling. You know, over the years, it's just going to get falling apart.
Up and kicked up. But
this isn't the case with that.
No, this place, and there's a weird thing that Dawn from Gosu, thanks Dawn, she gave us the idea and she did it once and we followed up on it. She powdered the house with baby powder.
Yeah.
And what's really weird, this is why we're, like we said, we're releasing the location because it's getting disturbed too much and we can't really keep completing investigation there because it's too hard to tell from what we've done to what other people have been in there.
Yeah, that's another thing. When you leak information like this, there's experiments that you're trying to do.
That we're actually trying to document.
Yeah, and we cannot conduct these kinds of experiments with other people tramping through the house.
Yeah.
Whenever
they get the burn, they're burning.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, I know, I'm going to Savage House.
It completely contaminates the field.
Yeah, because when you powder the steps, when you powder areas of the attic or powder areas of the main floor, and then you go in there and there's all this, you know, disturbance going on, well, it could have been a person then because some other group who the location was leaked to. So you can't do that. You can't set something in a specific position and hope that, you know, it would be in it. It could be stolen. But
exactly.
Like if you set a deck of cards or a die or some dice around on certain numbers and stuff, and
see,
then
we
flip
some
it over.
Prayers on the kitchen table there, and a prayer to Saint Michael, and then we also put a conjuring, not a satanic, just a Wiccan conjuring, to bring whatever is in the house out.
Yeah.
So we could possibly photograph or document it, and last time we were there, one of them was missing.
Yeah.
You don't know if somebody took it. You don't know if the shadow person took it. I mean, you can't.
Could be anybody.
You know,
it's very tough to tell. Unless you have a way of isolating that particular area.
Exactly.
Having someone guard it where nobody can get in.
I'm not going to be spending that much time there.
No.
That's the big money groups. That's what they do. They isolate.
Exactly.
They isolate the area. So nobody can get in. So
if anybody wants to donate any money, and we can isolate this house, and
really get down here.
Yeah,
we could use money.
Yeah,
we'll use it for the ghost hunt.
And the ice cream truck.
Yeah, but I mean that's a problem. That's why we are going to release.
So you did though. We think we did get a good result out of the
initial powdering.
Yeah, the initial powdering,
which was upstairs in the attic by the room that was boarded off.
Mm-hmm.
We returned. There was no footsteps up the steps. We powdered all the steps. There was nothing leading up the steps that would show us anybody had been up there. So when we did go up there, in the middle of the powdering, over by the entrance to that hidden room, we noticed a yellow stain that had been freshly put on top of that powdering, if I'm right, with the black trail leading away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which we did photograph. We do have pictures of it. First thing I thought of was urination of an animal, but
it would show the hoof.
Exactly.
The hoof.
It would have been the goat that was walking around.
Yeah.
But it was, it's a definite area where it was specifically urinated upon, and the animal pretty much just sprays wherever they, you know. And
it wasn't enough to be a human either.
No,
it was a very light drinker. Yeah.
You didn't find a magazine real close by, did you?
No.
Sorry.
Wasn't enough.
Bing, bing. Yeah.
But it was weird, and we documented that, and we do have that on film. Also, on the top step that night, before we got to the attic, it had been brushed around. Only the top step. And it almost looked like, it's either two things that I've came up with. It looks like somebody sat there, but then again, there was no footprints below it where they'd be sitting on a step and their feet would be hanging.
Yeah.
Or it looks like somebody took their hand and moved it around and made a couple little piles or forms of it.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing that's weird about there.
So,
strange stuff.
Yeah, we've got strange a lot stuff. Of activity. We've got the shadow person that I experienced. We've got, which was a tall, thin, inky black shadow person.
And we did experience it again.
Yes.
Were you there the second time?
No. By the van?
By the van.
I did not experience that. That was someone else.
We were coming out of the house. It was Tom was with us, Frank, myself, I believe Jason. And we were coming out of the van, we're coming out of the house, and we had stopped, and Tom was doing something in the backyard area. And again, we seen me, Jason, and Frank just also happened to be looking at the van, and we seen the shadow again run from, which would be the west side of the property, towards the van, stop at the van, and then while we were all discussing seeing it there, it then took off from behind the van, heading towards the east side of the property into the little patch of woods that's right there. So it's unexplainable, you know. We can't figure out what it is. My theory on it is, which I could be wrong, Doug believes, you know, the shadow person theory. I believe possibly that it could be some kind of entity of a slave that was possibly held there. You know, I'm sure it was against his will.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the movement. You know, that's what I possibly believe it could be.
This is just staggering. I mean, shadow persons, I mean, we talked about that a few minutes before the show here, and shadow people, there isn't too many, I mean, there isn't a lot of information on the actual shadow person. There's plenty of drawings. If you go to, like, Art Bell's site, he's got, like, a whole section for shadow people. And they're very hard to put your finger on. It isn't like, you know, orbs and stuff like that. I mean, it's just a black figure. Would you say an inky?
Inky black
inky,
figure,
which is very,
yeah.
Very good. It's a very good description.
But when Doug, and we first witnessed it, it was definitely moving, like it was running. Don't you agree that it was?
Oh, it was running. It was either walking very quickly or running because it was moving. Yeah.
And there's no way. There was nobody back there.
Everybody was with us.
At the same time, also.
And it wasn't. It didn't seem to be a human because it was not responsive like a human.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And remember, after we seen the actual person or shadow, whatever, we also heard the cracking of the branch.
Yeah, we heard.
Which
we
all
heard.
Witnessed.
Yeah, everybody heard the
and
branch.
It wasn't a little twig that cracked.
No.
It was definitely maybe at least
a
quarter
limb.
Inch.
Yeah.
You know, to an inch diameter. You know, that cracked loudly.
Mm. Okay.
Let's take a
one
break.
More break.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a second.
Ghost Hunting, my ethereal anti-drug. Yeah.
Hey. And we're
back.
Back online, yeah. From the 15-second break.
Yeah.
What one did I play? Oh, my favorite one. The
yeah,
one with me in it. there's a couple. There's a lot of stuff we have to talk about.
Yeah.
And we only have 15 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
So what we want to do, first of all is we've talked about all this cool stuff about Savage House. I want to play. Oh, we have to play that one thing from, but that was from a different place.
The Insane Asylum.
The Insane Asylum.
That
we'll play
they're
that.
Not releasing the location of this.
Yeah. Yeah, that we're not releasing the location of. But we'd also like to get. There's a link to the.
Our board.
Yeah. DDPI
board.
Has a board.
It's just an easy board kind of thing where you can post your comments, share your experiences, say hello, possibly join the group on an investigation.
Yeah.
I check it regularly, probably 5 times a day.
It's a very active board. We're going to try it. We want to get you the link because we don't have it yet. No.
Yeah, I do have it somewhere. It's just a matter of finding it.
Yeah, we want to get you guys on this board, but I'm just going to let you guys know right now. If you're not serious,
don't bother,
because I've been out with Brian and Frank, and they wore me out.
We do this seriously. We don't do this as a thrill seeking kind of running out of buildings. You know, we've been in places where, activity is basically at the highest level, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, being physically touched by something is pretty much it.
That's another holy grail, I'd say.
Whispers.
What you're doing.
I mean, we've heard actual whispers.
I've never had the pleasure of having anything like that happen.
Gotta hang out more.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm a lamer. I know. I try. I got so many things going on in my life right now.
Well, we're pounding our bandwidth. That's the problem.
Oh.
Well, I know the one is you can get to it at papertarget.net/DDPI.
Okay.
And you log in, you know, create a user ID.
Uh-huh.
And
it's the basic message board. They all pretty much run the same way now.
Exactly.
So you have to join the group and get your specific ID and password, and
well,
then
you're
glad,
there. Glad to get to know you and glad to hear about your experiences because we could talk for hours, days.
Yeah.
Of what we've witnessed.
Because some people just like to talk about it too. I mean, and we're welcome to that. I'm welcome to that.
Yeah. So for a few minutes, we're going to talk about... Okay, so that'll be our link of the week is the DDPI forums, even though we don't know exactly... Oh, it is.
And we were prepared for this.
Yes, it's www.papertarget.net/DDPI.
Yep.
And that takes you to the Downriver Detroit Paranormal Investigators
And if you don't,
web board.
If you forget about it, we'll probably put a link up on our site.
Or you can email me directly... At our email address, it's ddpi48180@aol.com.
Okay.
And that's a good way to get in touch with us, because every time I log on, you've got mail. So that would get you a quicker response, actually.
Yeah.
So
just
now, what other kinds of stuff does DDPI do? I mean, I know most of this show is dedicated to Savage House.
We do urban exploration. We do a lot of abandoned buildings. I've got a list of abandoned buildings and abandoned houses from here to Ohio, easily.
and almost to Indiana.
Yeah, in every area.
We were 12 miles away from Indiana the last one we went on.
It didn't exist.
It turns out it's like either lived in or has been torn down finally. The old Abbott Mansion.
Old Abbott Mansion.
Couldn't
Abbott
find
Road
it.
In Reading, Michigan.
Yeah, couldn't find it.
But we did find an interesting house there, though.
But that was dangerous.
But
that
dangerous.
One I do. I would not. I wouldn't let my worst enemy go in there.
That's where the common sense comes in, what we were talking about earlier.
The fact that, weighing 300 pounds, walking through a floor made of balsa wood that's been soaked,
not a good idea.
No, definitely not. But we've been cemeteries. I mean, we've had some pretty good experiences in some cemeteries. We've been in a few abandoned mental asylums, a few abandoned factories where some strange deaths have occurred. Some of the locations probably aren't the safest, so we like to go with a pretty good group of pretty big guys. The newest location that we're definitely going to look into soon is an abandoned old nursing home that we witnessed probably the coldest spot we've ever felt. When we walked in.
Do you know what we didn't do? We didn't say where Savage House is.
We're going to get
Savage House.
It's on Savage Road.
It's on Savage Road. In Van Buren Township.
Yeah.
Between Hegarty and Main Street in Belleville.
Yeah.
It is on the north side of the road, about a quarter mile off of Hegarty Road. There, it has been released.
Yeah.
Everybody that's been emailing me and breaking my back about where it's at. There it is. I'm not saying go there.
Go there, as a matter of fact, is what we would say.
And if you do go there, please be respectful. Please don't, urinate in the living room.
That's just not... there's people that just love to do that kind of stuff.
And I'm the kind of person that would love to catch them doing it.
Yeah, it gives people a sense of power, I guess.
Immaturity.
I can do somebody's house.
Yeah, immaturity. Because we've actually taken people there that have talked so much junk, where, I'll pee on that house, and this and that. And when we got them there, when they left, they were crying.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
Shedding tears.
Well, I saw it firsthand. I saw it firsthand with those people.
Yeah.
I'm like...
It happens to...
get them out.
Well, that was a group of normal urban explorers. They weren't actual ghost hunters, I don't think.
No.
And so when that kind of stuff does start happening...
Yeah.
That's not normal.
No.
It's not normal when you're doing urban exploration to suddenly be, tapped on the shoulder, shoved down the stairs, warps and dark shadow figures and whispers and answers to questions happening.
Without a doubt, the highest activity that I've came across in 4 years of constant ghost hunting. I mean, I'm talking 3 to 4 nights a week, every week, looking into things, going to places. But the next thing we're looking at is an old nursing home, and it's attached to a 3-story building with an attic which served as the house. And we definitely want to get a group of people to go down there. We have the Cobra radio, so we can keep in touch with everybody. And we are looking for some people that are interested, that are serious-minded, that aren't going to go out there.
Not faint of heart either.
Not the scary kind that get panicked and have that, we're not looking for that. I mean, if if you're open-minded and you're serious about this and you don't want to go and destroy, vandalize, or steal, you're more than welcome to email
me. We can't stress that enough.
So, just don't. There was one other than Savage House. Well, I've been on a couple other DDPI outings, but one of them...
I haven't yet.
I'm a lamer. I'm sorry. You're going?
We're going out tonight. But okay. There was one that I went on to an insane asylum that's going to be torn down.
It's slated to be demolished
next year or something.
Yeah, but they already have the
walls
torn out.
Yeah, they're writing.
They're putting the demo charges in by the foundation and the beams.
Yeah, so it's happening as we speak. So we did go in this place and we did get EVP. So I'm going to play the clip. And then we'll talk about it for like 2 minutes, and then that'll be our 5 minute warning. Oh wait, it's already our 5 minute
warning.
We're gonna go over. Yeah,
it's all right.
Let me play the clip of what we got. And
this was me, Doug, Frank, Tom from Paper Target, which is also a member of DDPI.
And also the other fellow from Paper Target, the one from
Jason,
up here, Jason. Yeah.
It wasn't
When Tom hollered bingo, that's when we actually found the morgue. There's a morgue in there. I want to play the clip one more time, and I'm going to point out the child crying.
Okay.
Because it's at 37 seconds into the clip.
We'd like to note there was no females with us that night.
Yeah, there's no females.
It was all of us. That night.
Boys' night out!
Yeah. Gee, we were partying in the insane asylum looking for ghosts. Okay.
You guys are crazy.
Bring down our levels. I'll bring up my level just before the thing comes on.
Okay.
All right. So I'll play it one more time.
All right.
All right, the girl crying is coming up, so keep your ears peeled. It's coming up. That was it. Okay, so if you didn't hear it, you'll have to download. Yeah, bring up the volume.
Bingo!
Bingo! Thanks, Tom.
075.
So what happens is on that clip, the you'll have to download the. I can put it up on the thing too on the website. But if you're listen real close, we're talking about it because Jason or Tom heard.
Jason heard. We've been down that hall that night 15 times, remember? Because it kept leading us back to the same spot.
Yeah.
And when we went in that building, we kept coming back to that point in the building.
Yeah, and that was almost near the entrance where we entered the building. And
we overlooked it.
Yeah, we kept overlooking it. And finally, one of the fellows, Jason or Tom, heard a girl cry.
Jason heard it first.
A girl's cry from down the hall. So we go down the hall again, and they were talking about hearing that.
And one of the arguments that me and Tom have heard about it was that is it somebody that was imitating what they heard? But if you actually download it and listen to it all, you will hear where they talk about it, but nobody ever says it sounded like this or this is what I heard.
Yeah. I know I heard it. I heard that second one. I didn't hear the first one on the tape, but I heard the second
one.
We
were back there the other night, and I heard something to that accord again. And I haven't gone through the audio again because I did have the audio running that night.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gone through it. I've just been too busy. But it's something. There's a female, whether it's a child or a young girl, and that asylum was used to house children. from the ages of 10 and up, mm-hmm. I found out. Male and female adults did reside there. So it was like a co-ed mental asylum.
So we're over time. We're going to be over time in 1 minute. So let's get all the other stuff out. What else did we want to talk about?
Thanks to Doug and Scott. They are going to let DDPI run a little show on the same thing from after their show goes off every week. And then we're going to start investigating a little bit of Macomb County area and the outlying regions out this way, since we are from downriver. You know, this is new territory to us, some of this stuff. And I've got plenty of little things out here I want to take a look at. And following their show every Sunday night, you know, as long as we have something to talk about, we're going to let you know what we found Sunday nights.
So we're basically going to be doing, like, audio journals of DDPI's experiences.
And everybody here can attest that I take plenty of notes.
Oh, yeah.
Voice and written. And we'll let you know everything.
That's the other thing that impresses me with the with how DDPI operates, is when you go into a place, you use normal voices, not whispers, for the most part. There's a couple of times when you're, you know, don't want everyone to hear, but you know, but when you hear something, it's announced. You know, I heard something from the back of the house.
Yeah,
I see a figure in the window. I mean, it's announced in a normal tone of voice so that everybody can hear it.
The more people that witness it, the more credibility it brings to our findings. I mean, if we're like. You know.
Yeah, and if you're recording on audio tape, that could come up as a possible EVP. Yeah.
Exactly. We announce in clear voices. You know, we want everybody in the group. We're not, you know, greedy where we just want to witness things. We want if something is there and something is spotted or heard or something strange happens, we want everybody to witness it, because it also brings everybody's awareness.
It brings more credibility to the situation.
Exactly.
The more the merrier.
Exactly.
Basically, yeah. I mean, that's the way it has to be. So when you have an experience and three or four people are all like going, hey,
it was weird.
That.
Yeah. Nice. Then you've got three or four people to try and debunk. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So next week, we'll try and also bring the DDPI audio journals to everybody, a little radio show of what DDPI does and experiences. We can take, you know, lay those down after on Sunday night.
Mostly. Yeah, Doug.
I'm going to start. You guys got
to. I try to go every chance I get.
A recording project, so I'm going
tonight. What are we going to do tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to do, we think, Columbus Cemetery.
Columbus Cemetery.
And we're going to do Morrow Road.
Morrow Road.
Mm-hmm.
Which has Scott.
I hate that place, man. Stop it.
But, we'll tell you what we find, and we'll tell you the background on everything next week.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So with that
note, I'm Scott O.
And I have to say thank you to Brian and Frank for being here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for
and
having us.
So you're Scott L., and I am Doug.
And this is Ghostly Talk.
This is Ghostly Talk, Sundays at 7.
Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Talk to you then.
Easy. Bye.
Bye. True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.